1 Corinthians 11. We're going to be spending time at the Lord's table this morning. And I want to read a passage to you that we're all very familiar with. It's always said at communion for good reason. But like so many other scriptures, we can become so used to hearing it or reading it that we miss a lot of things. Paul says this beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also have passed on to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then Paul comments and he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Last week, Roger spoke from Joshua and he taught about this monument of stones that God told Joshua and the Israelites to build as a memorial, something to remember what the great thing that God had done in delivering them and bringing them through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The importance of these memorials, and it was Memorial Day, and I know he spoke about that last week. Since 1775, 48 million men and women have served in the military. Over a million have given their lives to purchase a freedom that we enjoy. In fact, a freedom that we take such advantage of, sometimes we don't even realize what it meant and what the real cost of that freedom was. But it was the cost of blood that was shed on battlefields from the Revolution through 1812, the Civil War, on up to the Great Wars, the World Wars, Vietnam, Korea, all of them. Whether dying in the mountains, bleeding in Afghanistan, or in a desert in Iraq, it's the willingness to lay down one's life so that others could live, to give up their today so that you and I could have our tomorrows. And that's a great sacrifice. And as we come here today, this is also Memorial Day because Jesus has left us a memorial, bread and the cup, to remember what he has done for us. Paul has spent 10 chapters talking to the Corinthians about some pretty serious issues. And we've been looking at it. We're 2/3 through the book. He talked about the divisions that were in the church, divisions that were theological, divisions that were cultural, divisions that were financial. Talked about immorality in the church and the willingness to put up with it. "Ah, we live by grace," was the idea. And he says, "This is wrong. How can you do such a thing?" He talked about sanctity of the body, the individual human body, but also the sanctity of the body of Christ, the importance of that. And of course, we spent 3 chapters looking at this matter of liberties, Christian liberties that we love so much. And he's saying our rights as Christians are important, but our responsibilities counterweigh those. And we have to take seriously what our responsibilities are as we walk this walk as Christians. And certainly we have to do the same thing as we come to the table this morning. And now he's going to begin to talk about the order of worship. He does it in chapter 11, talking about communion. And actually, as we get into chapters 12 through 14, he'll be talking about the same thing as it pertains to spiritual gifts, order in the church, the power of the Spirit, and that sort of thing. I read beginning in verse 23, but if we had started in verse 17, he says to them there, you've got the same problem here, even at the Lord's table, at the communion table, as you do throughout the church. You have divisions among you. The rich ones were getting there first to these agape feasts, and they were eating and they were drinking. They were even getting drunk at the communion table. And then the poor people would get there. There'd be nothing for them. He says, can't you eat and drink in your own homes? There are divisions among you, even in this place. And he rebukes them for that. And he says, for that reason, he says, as he ends that, he comes into what we call verse 23. And he says, for I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. Now, we slide over that phrase a lot. I think it's one of those very interesting phrases. I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. How did Paul receive it from the Lord? Because Paul received it from the Lord before any apostle ever told him. Paul received it from the Lord before the Gospels were ever written. So Paul received it from the Lord. Where was it? On the road to Damascus? Was it a couple years in Arabia? Was it 3 years in Tarsus? I don't know. But he received it from the Lord. The Lord revealed things specifically to him, and a lot of things, but this particular thing. That on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and the literal idea is that while he was being betrayed, there was a political conspiracy against him. There was a murderous plot that was against him. All of the powers of darkness were now against him, and he knew it full well, and yet he took the time. He washed their feet, even the feet of the one who would betray him. And then after Judas left, then he takes the bread, and he takes the cup, and he does this amazing, loving thing. And he gives them these emblems. He gives them these memorials. And he says, I want you to remember me on the basis of these things that I'm giving to you. And he wants us to remember in the same way. This bread, he says, it's a picture of his body that was broken for us. It was broken. You know, in a little while, the ushers are going to pass out pieces of broken up matzah. And you know, it's easy to treat these as a cheap thing. Because you know, it's just matzah. You can buy it for next to nothing. You know, you break it up and all of a sudden you got communion. It's just matzah. But it's broken. And it's a picture, actually, of him. It's striped, just as he was beaten with the lashes and he was striped for us. It's pierced, just as he was pierced for our transgressions. On the cross, crucified. It's made without yeast, without leaven. Leaven's always a picture of sin in Scripture. So it's a picture of him, pure, without sin, but broken. And even in that, if nothing else, there's that implication that as we come and partake of communion, we're not to take this lightly. It's a beautiful picture. We're not to take this lightly. Actually, there's to be a brokenness. That's the idea. There's to be a brokenness even in our lives. He says, this is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it. And do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. And in the same way, later on, he takes the cup. Now, by the way, we don't have time for a whole explanation of this, but this is a Passover meal that they're at. There are four cups of wine. If you've been through a Seder or you've seen some of this or read some of it, you understand. Everybody had a cup, but they drank four times from the cup. And the first time they drank, this is all based on Exodus 6, where God says, I will set you apart. It's the cup of sanctification. They drink to that. I will deliver you from your enemies. It's a cup of deliverance. They drink from that. And I will redeem you. It was the third cup, the cup of redemption, that came after the supper. And that's why Paul makes a very interesting point here. After the supper, he took the cup of redemption. And he says, this cup, the cup of redemption, is the cup of the new covenant that's in my blood. A new covenant. And a lot of us, unfortunately, as Gentile Christians, think, oh, the new covenant's for us, the Gentiles. No, the new covenant was to replace the old covenant. The old covenant was designed to point to Jesus Christ and to point to our helplessness without him. And this new covenant replaced that because in Jesus Christ, all has been fulfilled. In Jesus Christ, there would never again be a need for a sacrifice. In Jesus Christ, all of our unworthiness would be replaced by his worthiness, would be replaced by his holiness and his righteousness, that everything that we have and anything that we have that can ever be counted as good in God's eyes can only come from him, can only come from him. And so we drink this, and that's the cup that we drink from when we celebrate communion. We eat the bread, we drink the cup, and it points back to that third cup, the cup of redemption. And Paul comments and he says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, when you got up this morning, you did not expect, as you're drinking your coffee or watching the news or getting dressed or whatever you do, you didn't think, I'm a preacher. But that's what you're about to do. He says, as you eat this bread and as you drink from this cup, by the way, he doesn't say, as you eat his body and drink his blood, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach about the Lord's death until he comes. We preach. We're preaching the gospel to ourselves. We're preaching the gospel to one another. We're preaching the gospel. We're proclaiming the gospel. The angels long to look into the affairs of the saints, Peter says. And they're looking down upon us. They're among us, believe it or not. That might sound flaky to some of you if you're new here. But it's not flaky. It's exactly what the scripture says. We proclaim it to them. We proclaim it to the world. This new life, Lord. The new me. The new person that we are in Jesus Christ, Lord. What a great proclamation you've already made, Lord, in what you've done for us. Each one of us, Lord, as we recognize the power of our own sin, we have to say, you know, it would have been enough if you had just forgiven us of our sins. But far more than that, Lord, you've proclaimed us as your redeemed ones. You've proclaimed us as righteous. You've proclaimed us as pure. You've set us apart, proclaiming us as holy, the holy ones, Lord. Not because of anything we've done, but because everything that you've done on our behalf. Washed pure, Lord. Given your Holy Spirit, Lord, you now live in these sanctuaries, these temples that we walk around in. And it would have been enough if you just said, you're forgiven. But you have so much more for us, Lord, so much more. And Lord, you proclaim this great identity and this great work that you've accomplished on our behalf to all the powers of darkness. That nothing can touch us. That there is no power of hell. There is no depth of our sin. There is nothing that could ever snatch away this great salvation that we have in you. So as we continue to worship, Lord, and as we eat this bread, as we drink this cup, we thank you and we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.